Hello, this is Terry Cheek, pastor of Calvary Baptist Church in Marion, North Carolina. I want to thank you for choosing our broadcast, and my prayer is that it will be an encouragement to your walk with the Lord. Comments or questions can be directed to me via the link on our sermon audio page. Now, on to your selection.
When I watch that, Scripture comes to mind of Jesus, and He talks about the faith of a child. These children, this little boy, Jake, he had no idea what he was going to do that morning. He had no idea where he was going. He had no idea of the dangers that he may have been leading himself and his sister into. All he knew was that he had faith that there was something better, that there was something more safer, something more secure. There was food. There was safety. No one would hit them. No one would harm them. Yet, he didn't know where or how. And he knew that somebody had to do something. So he did. Faith. The faith of a child. When this is put forth into our homes and into our hearts, it asks of our faith. And this morning, I have a piece of Scripture I want to share with you and some thoughts about this Scripture and how it pertains to our lives and our opportunities that we have for missions in general. I'm going to be in the book of James, James chapter 1, and I'm going to begin reading with verse 26. I'll give you a couple of moments to find your place there as I continue to discuss this little boy and this little girl. It is the gifts, it is the love, it is the caring and the concern of people like you and me who make these opportunities happen for these kids. It was shared with me before we started the service this morning that our church thus far has contributed $200 to the Baptist Children's Home. That's great. That's great. That is really good when you look at the size of our congregation. That says a lot. We contribute toward that $1.5 million goal. And understand that this is not one orphanage, as some of us may think of it. The Baptist Children's Home are strolled all over the state. They are in Henderson County. There's one in Caldwell County and in Lenoir. The main office is in Thomasville. There are a couple in the eastern part of the state, and those are the ones that I know about. And this money distributes across all of them and helps keep all of them going and operating. There are children from this county who have been taken to the Baptist Children's Home. It is because of gifts of love. And they do ask for more than money throughout the year. Often their food pantries will become low and they will have a food drive. I think we participated in one of those a couple of years ago where they were needing non-perishables. There's a lot that goes into helping. There is a lot that goes into being missions-minded. And this morning, I want you to think about this. I am missions. Think about that statement. I am missions. Missions is not something that we do. Missions is something that we are. It's who we are. It is just as much the calling of Christ as opening our Bibles and reading it, as singing our hymns, as any other Christian outreach may be. Missions is a testimony of us. James chapter 1, verse 26 and 27. If any man among you seem to be religious and bridleth not his tongue, but deceiveth his own heart. This man's religion is vain. Pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this: to visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction and to keep himself unspotted from the world. Two very bold and very powerful pieces of Scripture. And what they show are two types of church members. They show two types of church members. They show in verse 26, we see a church member whose religion is vain. Well, when I look at this and I go over these passages, one thing comes to mind, and comes to mind very heavily, and that is we need to understand what James is talking about with religion. And when I do a word study on that, and I'll go back into the Greek, what I see is it is an outward expression that fulfills the ceremony and ritual of worship. Religion is an outward expression. An outward expression of what? An outward expression of our heart. Let's think about that. Those two verses tell us that very vividly. The first one is a deceived heart, and the second one is an unspotted heart. The religion or the outward expression of those two individuals are going to come from their heart. Vain religion is religion that is not authentic. It is based on what could be called intellectual faith. It is based on the idea that we know about Jesus. It is based, can be based on the idea that, hey, I've been told about Jesus since I was a child. I have read about Jesus. I have talked about Jesus. I have watched movies about Jesus. I know the story of Jesus from the incarnation to the consummation. I know all of that. I have all of the intellectual knowledge of Jesus that could possibly be had. But I don't have a relationship with Him. We can know, we can understand, we can have all of the intellectual faith in ourselves. And that's what happens with intellectual faith. We have it in ourselves. That's why James calls this faith vain. It isn't authentic. It is something that looks good on the outside. It is something that that looks real tasty and real pleasing. It's like two apples. If we had two apples, one of them was a real apple that had just came off of the tree, and the other was an artificial, a wax apple, if you will, and you put them down side by side or set them in a bowl together, you may not be able to tell the difference on the outside. They may look so close to one another that you just can't tell the difference. But when you pick one up and try to bite at that wax apple, you're going to know real quick that it's not authentic. And that's what James is saying about the church member. There are those that are not authentic because it is a problem of their faith. And how is that evidenced? It's evidenced in their speech. And I'm not talking about necessarily someone who uses foul language, someone who is cussing or cursing. But when we look at Jesus' teaching, especially Matthew chapter 12, verse 37, we see, for by words thou shalt be justified, and words thou shalt be condemned. If our words are coming from our heart, which they do, then our justification and our condemnation in Christ is going to be evident in what we say. It's going to be evident in how we say it. It's going to be evident in whether we're lifting up Christ or whether we're tearing Christ down. It's going to be evident in whether we're lifting up other people or whether we're tearing people down. James warned us about these folks. He warned us that we have to be careful not to deceive ourselves. Because we can find ourselves in a spot where we know everything intellectually there is to know about Jesus Christ. But because we don't have a relationship with Him, we are deceiving ourselves. And those people that have that heart, when we deal with it, and let's be honest this morning, this is not something that you have or you don't have. This is something that has a tendency to affect every one of us. We have to be careful. We have to be careful with our relationship with God. We have to be careful with our relationship with one another. We have to be careful not to take our faith and not to have a religion that is in vain of God's Word. Why is that so important? Let's look at verse 27. Because of pure religion. Pure religion is authentic. It is the same definition. It is an outward expression that fulfills the ceremony and the ritual of worship. But it is authentic. It is based on a relationship with Jesus Christ. Twofold. We see that it is pure and it is undefiled. In other words, it is positional and it is practical. It is positional in the fact that because of Jesus and a relationship with Jesus Christ, because our sins are covered in His blood, we have that position of being the children of God, being saved by grace through faith in Jesus Christ. And that puts Christ in our heart through the gift of the Holy Spirit. That's the positional part of purity. The practical part is undefiled. It is the practical reality that we are the hands of Christ extended to a lost and a dying world, to a world that is hurting and to a world that is in need. That is the religion that the born-again child of God has. The true church member has that religion. This morning we're sitting here and we watch this video and we see these two children and we see their faith. But then it comes right back into our laps. It comes right back into your home and into my home, into your house, into my house, of dealing with our positional faith and dealing with our practical faith. And it comes down to the question of what are we going to do about it? And yes, we do need to address it that way, because the remainder of that verse says this, that it is undefiled before God and the Father to visit. Now that's an interesting word. When you hear the word visit, I'll bet you get the same picture that I got when I first read that. And that is, we walk up to a door and we knock on that door. We say, "Hello, how are you? Glad to see you. I hope you're doing well. I'll talk to you later. Bye." That's our understanding of visit, isn't it? That's not what God's Word is saying. God's Word is saying relief. Relief. And if you go back and if you look at the definitions for the word visit, you will find that definition under the word visit. It is to relieve. Relieve the children and the women who have no support at all. And something I want to see and show you about the wording of this. James says to visit the fatherless and their widows. There's something very interesting that combines and connects those two, and that is the fact that there is the loss of a man in the house. James doesn't say that it's loss of parents, parentless and widows. He says fatherless. And there's a reason. And no, it's not sexist. And no, it's not being discriminatory. And no, it's not trying to put anybody out. In the day and the context in which this was written, there was no support system. There was no social support system. There was no government support system. Everybody was on their own from the time they were born till the time they died. There was no retirement. There was no Social Security. There were no pensions. There were no 401ks. There was none of that. You worked until you couldn't work anymore, and if you didn't have an immediate family member that could take care of you, you were up the creek. You had a problem. That's the way it was in that day. And for women, it was worse because women couldn't get jobs. Women couldn't go to work anywhere. There were no right-to-work laws in Rome. Women were second-class citizens. That's just the way they were treated. That's the way the culture was. So when it came down to support, it all came back to the point of a husband and the point of a father being the individual who would take the responsibility to care for and provide for his family. That is the same responsibility that men have today biblically. Not to push the women aside, not to be sexist, or not to be anything like that. But biblically speaking, that is the role of a man today, to be a father to his children and a husband to his wife, and to take care of her and to love her and to provide. But what happens when that doesn't pan out? You have fatherless children and you have a widow. That word fatherless is the Greek word orphanos, and it does bring back our word orphan. But the meaning of orphanus goes much deeper. The meaning of orphanus is actually bereaved. That is the meaning of the Greek word orphanus. It is a bereaved child. Now, when we move over to widow, the Greek word for widow is a husbandless woman. Now, I want you to hang on to that thought, because here comes something that might put your jaws on the floor. A husbandless woman is also a woman that's been abandoned by her husband, not just left from a passing from a deceased husband. A widow is a woman identified in Scripture who is without a husband. None of this special definition stuff, we attach that to it. God's Word doesn't. A woman in this day and in this age would become part of the church if she had nobody else to take care of. She was 60 years old or older, and she had no one else to take care of her, no children, no grandchildren. She could actually come to the church. She could move into the church, literally, and the church would care for her and take care of her. If she was under 60 years or older, go back into Timothy and read some out of Timothy, and you'll see very quickly she was to go marry and find a husband and let her husband take the role and be her provider. That's God's Word. But for the sake of our message this morning, just understand that God has these things very quickly and very specifically pointed out, that there are people that are in need, and they need to be relieved. And they need to be relieved immediately, because it is in their affliction. It isn't after their affliction. It isn't before their affliction. It is in their affliction. When there is a need for children and widows, the church has been called to step up. The church has been called to step up. Step up and deliver the gospel. The church is never asked to step up and do anything without delivering the gospel. The gospel always comes first. If you watched that video and you paid attention to it, you caught that from that little boy that was narrating it. He said plainly that he was saved as a result of that incident. Yes, he got his belly full. Yes, he got clothes. Yes, he got security. But he got saved. The church is responsible for delivering the gospel, but the church is also responsible for delivering and taking care of the physical needs. And that's something that we have to grasp today. Not intellectually. It isn't something that is obligatory and we say, well, I guess I better do it. That takes you back up to verse 26. You're going to find yourself in one of these two verses. We all are. We're going to find ourselves in one of these two places, in one of these two church members. So let me go ahead and put part of the conclusion in right here. Which one will you walk away being? The church member of verse 26 or the church member of verse 27? Because it does come back to you. When we look at the end of verse 27, and a continuation, it's not just about giving, but there's something else tied to it. Keep himself unspotted from the world. That means we are to keep ourselves spiritually clean and spiritually pure, and we are to be looking to Jesus Christ. We are to be looking to God's Word. What would God have me do? What would God have me do? God's not going to ask any of us to do anything that He hasn't provided us the ability to meet. He may ask us and He may convict us to take one of our wants and put one of our wants on the back burner. He may do that just to see if conviction will have you follow that. That He is not going to ask us to do something that He hasn't prepared us to do. So what are we going to do? Are we going to choose to keep ourselves unspotted from the world, or are we going to choose to follow the world? Are we going to choose to be the church member of verse 26, or are we going to choose to be the church member of verse 27? Are we going to be the person God created us to be, and saved by grace through faith, or are we going to let the world dictate to us what we're going to do and how we're going to do it? It isn't about just a sympathy trip for children like this. It is about a heartfelt conviction of meeting a spiritual calling that comes from the depths of God's Word and moves into the depths of our heart. And as it moves into the depths of our heart, it comes with a conviction of what are we going to do? How are we going to do it? This, the Baptist Children's Home, is one missions opportunity. And I know we can't meet everything for everybody, and I'm not suggesting that at all. But I am suggesting that we look at our resources. We look at our resources from an individual standpoint. What do we have? What do we have to help with? And we look at it from a church standpoint. What do we have to help with? What are we willing to do? What's God telling us to do? And are we willing to follow what God is giving us? And that comes back to each and every one of us. Individually, if we say, no, I'm going to do it my way, I'm going to be the church member of verse 26, then we deal with God over it. If we say that I'm going to be the church member of verse 27 and I'm going to follow God, then we deal with God over it. That's where we're standing this morning. This is something that isn't new to the church. This is something that isn't new to Christianity. It's not a problem that just showed up and came into play in the 21st century. The problems with fatherless children, the problems with abused children and abused wives and widows and women who are abandoned, these are not just new problems. These have been around since the beginning of time. And just as the church in James's day had to deal with it, the church in our day has to deal with it too. We have more technology, we have more resources, we have more opportunities than they ever had. We also have more of a problem, I believe, than they ever had. So this morning, as we close and as we depart, I want you to ask yourself and think about yourself. And I'm not asking you to do anything today. What I am asking you to do, though, is to pray. I'm asking you to pray about what God would really have you do. What does God want from me in missions? Personally, I am missions. What does God want from me? And how does God want me to address it through this church and through the opportunities that I have through the Baptist children's home, through the Baptist missions offerings and other things? Pray about it sincerely and genuinely, and let the Holy Spirit guide you and lead you and direct you in how you would do it personally and how this church would do it corporately. We need to be following what God wants. We can put all kinds of personal opinions and perspectives and strategies and plans and ideas and thoughts into place, but what does God want? In the end, that's all that it boils down to. What does God want? We can find that very easily. All we have to do is open His Word and read and pray. And He will show us. He will show us.